This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Welcome back to The Rush. Ryan and Jay inviting you to stick around through the duration of the program. Stick around for the next 10 minutes if you want to. Hang out for the roundtable, 5:45 this afternoon. Bill Carroll will be here. Trevor Mayo will be here. A passionate discussion about the day's biggest stories awaits for our friends at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. If you've lost your job for any reason whatsoever, including coronavirus, make sure you know your rights. Make sure you know them quickly. And as a bonus, you can know them for free just by using PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. It is 5:35, right around this time, exclusively Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Toronto Mayor John Tory joins us, which means I get to say this. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, Jay, and to Ryan.
Let's start off with the conversation we were just having when it comes to a number of city councillors taking to social media using COVID-19 to talk about this accelerated bike plan. You're looking at bike lanes on the Danforth, on Bloor, on University. A lot of them are very left-leaning councillors. I mean, I look at this today and I can't almost believe that they're using COVID-19 as a way to get their agenda through. There are so many people that are upset about this today on our text board, on our phone lines. I don't mind bike lanes, Mr. Mayor, but this seems like a very opportunistic move on their part.
Well, you're aware of the fact, I know, Ryan, that every one of these bike lane projects was in the city's unanimously council-approved 10-year cycling plan, every single one.
Sure.
What's happened is a couple of them have been accelerated, so these were all coming, and it was felt that it was going to be advisable in light of the reluctance people might have initially, I hope, to ride on public transit to make sure that you moved some of those projects up so that people would have one more way they could get to work in an instance where some of them may be reluctant to ride public transit. But these were all projects, every one, that were in the 10-year cycling plan, originally approved by 38-2 by the City Council back before the Council was reduced in size, and then when it was modified slightly just a few months ago, approved unanimously by the Council. So, you know, we're all accountable for decisions we make, including these ones, and I think actually the connection is much less tenuous or stronger than you think between the changed circumstances we're going to have in terms of getting around the city and how people are willing to get around the city after the emergency is over and when people get back to work than you think.
So is the assumption that people just wouldn't take their cars or that they would take their cars as opposed to taking transit and avoid the TTC altogether? Because, I mean, the TTC could use the revenue. If we're putting these things in an accelerated fashion, those are a lot of people that likely won't be taking transit.
As you and I have discussed in a number of different contexts, there is nothing we're spending more time on than to try and regulate the use of transit, but also to get people to come back onto transit. But the fact is there's been research published showing that people are going to be reluctant because it is a crowded kind of scene. And they've been told crowded scenes are bad for the spreading of the virus, and so there's an anxiety on people's part about public transit. So what we're trying to do is actually make sure not everybody does get in their car because they won't go on transit initially, and we're going to be working hard to persuade them by cleaning it more and by, you know, placing reasonable limits on how people move around in the transit. But we're hopeful that actually some people will use cycling. You know, when I heard Jay saying well, nobody was out cycling yesterday, that's because nobody's going to work right now. That's why those people weren't on the road cycling, because nobody's going to work, but they're going to be going back to work, tens and hundreds of thousands of people that are not going downtown now. So you'll notice that the routes that were picked today, University and Bloor Danforth, which you've been focused on quite properly, are routes that are parallel to the transit system. So if one assumes many of those people who come downtown to work, when they come back, may not want to use public transit, we don't want them to use their car. We want to give them at least one other alternative.
Yeah, but aren't I safer in my car than anywhere else? I mean, I've been told by public health official after
Ryan,
public health official, it's an extent.
I hate to, you know, gosh, people call me an elitist. There are a lot of people in this city that don't have a car. They can't afford a car. And they don't want to go on transit because they're anxious. So how would you propose they get to work? And we need them to come back to work. They want to come back to work. So they don't have a car. Many, many,
sure,
many people in the city don't have a car, can't possibly dream of affording one. And I
we have car share programs. We have a transit system.
Ryan, come on. Are you honestly suggesting you're going to start? You know, do you know that 20% of the people who live downtown in the downtown area don't even have a driver's license? I mean, what is I that? Know, look, I used to work there, okay? So I'm pretty smart about who your audience is, and that a lot of the, I wouldn't exactly call 1010 the Church of Cycling support. But, it's, you know, obviously, I mean, you have an audience that's in cars, and I drive my own car, too. But you've got to have a balance. Let me have a little quiz with you here. You know, you mentioned earlier on about the cost. One of the listeners phoned in about it. It's about $6 million in total, some of which is coming from the other governments, and the listener sort of said, well, we don't have any money, so how can we invest on the cycling infrastructure. Do you know what the total transportation budget is, which is mostly on roads, for 2020 when we're going to spend $6 million on these cycle tracks? What do you think? Just take a guess at what the total.
No idea. Wouldn't even guess.
Pardon me?
Wouldn't even guess. I wouldn't even guess.
Come on. Help
no.
me. Play with
no.
me here.
I'm
okay.
not going to.
$467 million. So we're going to spend 1% putting in these cycle tracks to give people an alternative to walking or driving a car, which many people don't have
but
or
you're,
can't afford to drive downtown. We don't want them to drive their cars downtown. Where are they all going to park?
Okay. Well, that was. Let me ask you the question about parking then. What are we going to lose in revenue taking all that parking off the Danforth?
Well, you know, here we don't have the figures on the Danforth, but I have them for Bloor Street West, which is also part of this very same expansion plan from Shaw Street out to Runnymede past High Park. We will have a net increase of 42 parking spaces when we're finished. We'll take some out and add others in. Net increase.
But even when you say that, even when you say that, Mr. Mayor, if we don't have the revenue that we're going to lose on the Danforth potentially, why would we accelerate the program when it comes to parking revenue potentially being lost? We should have that number before we do something like this.
Well, when the detailed planning is done, we will. But I will tell you that, you know, whereas some of the people on Bloor Street, for example, initially opposed the Bloor Street cycle lane, you had the Bloor Annex, I think it's called Business Association Today, coming out and saying, we thought this was going to cause us to lose business. In fact, we've gained business because we have those bike lanes with parking, you know, added back in. Look, I'm not on the program as somebody saying we should be going overboard and imbalancing ourselves in favor of bike infrastructure instead of any car infrastructure. I'm saying we have to achieve a balance. When you have a limited amount of public infrastructure, public space, you have to share it back and forth as between pedestrians, cyclists, and the cars. And that's what we're doing here, is making some adjustments. There are still many, 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 many more kilometers of roadway in the city, obviously without bike infrastructure. And by the way, we're spending a huge chunk of money on what the other listener said a few minutes ago, which is bike trails through the parks and so on. But you can't always do that proximate to transit. So I'm just saying we're trying to, again, achieve that balance that you have to achieve, and that's part of my job. And if you get the balance wrong, then people vote you out. But at least I'm accountable for that, and as are all these other councillors, whatever you may think of their views.
Let's change gears a little bit, and I'd like to read you a text from 71010. Hey, guys, would you please ask Mayor Tory? I heard him earlier today talking about being at Trinity Bellwoods Park, and I understand he's not going to get tested. Well, if the mayor's not getting tested, I guess I don't have to get tested either. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that I will follow unreservedly, without qualification whatsoever, the advice of the Chief Medical Officer of Health for Toronto, Dr. Davila, the Chief Medical Officer of Health for Ontario, and the Associate Chief Medical Officer of Health for Ontario, all of whom say people who are in Trinity Bellwoods Park, I was there for 40 minutes on Saturday night to sort of try and figure out what was going on, that we should self-monitor for the next period of time, and if we have no symptoms, and then we have no symptoms. But at the first onset of any symptoms, we go and get tested immediately. So that is their advice rendered as professionals. I don't know if the person who wrote you is a doctor, but I take the advice of our medical doctor from the city. I will do whatever she tells me that is best for me to do, and all the other people in the park. There were 10,000 other people there too, and it was Premier Ford, who's also not a doctor, respectfully, who said they should all go and get tested, but his own medical officer of health and associate both disagreed with that.
You said 10,000 people in the park at Trinity Bellwoods on Saturday. I've already said, you know, we read your apology, and that's one of those things I say, yeah, people make mistakes, you're human, I get that part of it. Let's talk about the tickets, though. 10,000 people in the park, 4 tickets handed out. That's disgraceful, Mr. Mayor. Is somebody getting a talking to in all of this? I mean, how do you make that kind of... How do you kind of make that kind of mistake when it comes to 4 tickets and 10,000 people?
Well, look, they're completely reviewing that, every aspect of what happened on Saturday. And I will say, by the way, it should be mentioned that people across the rest of the city, by and large, I mean, it's not absolutely perfect, but most other people in other parks managed to physically distance themselves properly. But I think you heard Mr. Grant, or you may have, in our news conference this afternoon, he's in charge of the bylaw officer, saying that you get to a certain stage with that kind of a massive crowd, and frankly, the alcohol that was there and so on, where it is not safe For the officers to go in and do the work that they do. I don't direct law enforcement. I've made that point many times to you, and I think it's more for the listeners to hear that because they don't want politicians directing law enforcement. But I will say they made a decision on Saturday with the resources there and the crowd swelling and the alcohol that it was not safe for them to sort of start to wander into that crowd and start giving out tickets. And I have to support the people who do law enforcement for us because they are paid to use their judgment as to, you know, what they're able to do and not. And you notice on Saturday they brought about a great improvement in the whole situation by, you know, changing their plans.
But then how do we have these things stop then if you just say, okay, well, if there's enough people and the law enforcement or the bylaw people are outnumbered, we're not going to ticket them if they're drunk and unruly and there's too many of them. Doesn't that send a message that this kind of thing could happen again if that's the criteria?
Well, I think obviously you're going to see with respect to that park, which has been a particular center of activity, that things are going to have to change, and we're waiting results now, whether it's to have these circles drawn on the grass, as some are advocating, to show people how they can physically distance, and that will by definition. I mean, I was at the park and I went to see what was going on, and I can tell you there was tons of space in the park if people wanted to space themselves out, but they didn't, and that's something that more officers might have been able to help with if they were there. But you know, it's, again, let me just tell you about the balancing act that we have to achieve. You remember, I don't think it was you guys, but I was certainly confronted on interviews on this radio station from people who said when we closed Hyde Park and had a few officers standing there in front of the barricades, we were turning the whole place into a police state. And so you have that 2 weeks ago, and now you have this, where, you know, there weren't that many police officers there, to the point where when the crowd got bigger than it should have been, you know, they felt reluctant in the circumstances to go in and start handing out tickets. And so we've got to find the right balance here, and I can assure you there's a thorough review being done of this, and we will come forward, and it's not going to be weeks, it's going to be like days, so that we are prepared for next weekend or even sooner to make changes that have to be made so that people can have confidence that they're going to be following the public health rules in that park and elsewhere, and that we're going to have proper enforcement, whatever proper means, and that's got to be up to the enforcement people, not me.
And will that review be made public?
Oh, of course, because the recommendations of it will be, you know, what will be in practice at Trinity Bellwoods and perhaps elsewhere if there are things we need to learn about other parks to have the physical distancing. So the answer is yes.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you for yours, gentlemen. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. We'll speak with you again on Wednesday.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.